Hey everybody, this is Dominique, and if you're ready to do more with your life and money, I want you to stay tuned. If you have been paying attention to the stock market as of late, you're probably scratching your head and wondering what is going on. Well, I've got three choices that you can consider in today's episode, so stay tuned. Hey everybody, I'm back. This is Dominique Henderson, owner and founder of DJH Capital Management and host of Experiencing Financial Contentment, where we are trying to help you do more with your money and with your life, helping you swallow that red pill to leave the matrix of the average and live a life of intentionality with your finances and doing more with your money. So, today, I wanted to kind of piggyback off of a blog that I just wrote that I'll link in the show description. It's kind of on the negative side. It's not really necessarily me. I would say in my positive nature as a person, but I'm just looking at some of the things that I've seen over two decades of being in the industry, and I wrote about it. So it was really inspired by a article that I read by Howard Marks, who is the founder of Oak Tree Capital, which is a very, very large distressed manager. And I read his on the couch memos all the time. And he's actually been saying what I've iterated in that blog post for some time now. And it basically just, puts in perspective a couple things. So if you are an investor or active participant in the market, you've probably noticed what the market is doing. And, there are some things to look at for as far as short term and as far as long term. And I address those in the blog article. So I definitely would like for you to get that, consume it. If you have any questions, by all means, reach out to me. But then at the end of that, I wanted to kind of give some implications for what you should do based on that information. And that's what this podcast is really about. So it's kind of two parts. You get the blog on the first end. It's about 1,500 words. It'd take you about 30 minutes to read. And then on this end, you get the podcast and the video version of what some of the solutions are, because I have clients that I'm investing their money. I have money invested in the markets. And so there are some choices, three that I've come up with that should take you into, that basically give you what you want to do based on the things that have been happening. So really what I want to do is kind of break into some of the software that I use, because a picture's worth 1,000 words. And then we'll talk about some of the asset managers that I use to structure portfolios, given what we've been seeing. And I'm not going to really go into that. Get the blog article for that. That's not really the scope of this podcast. So let's go ahead and dive in. So I'm going to pull over the screens here and we will get started. Okay. So I think basically the first thing to kind of note, even before you're looking at that graph, is that since 2009, a little history here. So end of 2007, basically September, October, that range, we went into this, there was the peak of 2007, and then the market just went on this slide downward. For all of 2008 and into 2009. From 2009 on, you've basically made 10% a year or a little bit more. The market's basically doubled your money. And so when you're thinking about the three choices, based on the fact that the Dow hit an all-time high, 26,000 and change, January 26th, and it's since lost about 2,000 points in the first, 4 or 5 days of February. So, you may be like, okay, that was what markets do. That's a very healthy perspective. But if you're, say, like you're getting ready to retire or something, maybe you're a little scared. So there's really three choices that I've come up with that, kind of stand the test of time, really. So let's talk about those, and we'll pull up the screen. The first is to get really defensive and go to cash, which I don't think that's a good idea for a lot of reasons, but I'll let the charts kind of show you what you would have been missing out on. So what I have here, and let's just squeeze this here. What I have here in the green is one of my more aggressive portfolios. That would be more for, you know, if you came to me and you were a, let's call it a moderate aggressive to aggressive type investor, this is one of the portfolios I would suggest. But what's really cool about the software that I use and I like, and so I've taken the last 10 years, which basically gives you the 2009, where you can see that March 5th of 2009 is where you were down the most in this particular portfolio. And this blue line going across is what you would have earned in cash. So from any point during the Great Recession, you're only going to be up about 3%. 2.96 to be exact. And I know this is a little small. This is just as big as I can get it, unfortunately. Let's see if that's actually the case and see if I can make it even larger for you, just in case. I think the graph starts doing some weird things, unfortunately, if I make it larger. But anyways, here we go. So 296 in cash. That's barely keeping up with inflation. Historical inflation has been about 3% based on the consumer price index. So you barely would have been, you know, keeping up with the purchasing, you know, your purchasing power. And had you invested in the from the period of February 2008, which is, you know, pretty much a low, you know, the low was June 05, but the point being the last 10 years, counting back from February 7th today, where I'm recording this podcast, all the way back, you know, 10 years ago, you would have been up 151%, which means you more than doubled your money. And so putting your head in the sand is not the best strategy. Although things can be scary right now, a 10% return versus an annualized return of, you know, 0.3 is basically what 3% averages out to over 10 years, is not going to probably solidify your retirement plans or any other investment goals that you have. So that's really not the best strategy, obviously. So, excuse me. One of the considerations when you get real defensive like that is probably to do something close to defensive, but really it's a pause, which is the second choice. I would say get somewhat defensive by pausing. And so this is probably a path that feels a little bit more natural, where you may sell some of your winners, if you still have any in your portfolio, after the first 7 days of February. But the point being, you would take some of those. It's almost like what you would do when you went to Vegas. If you were up a little bit, you would take some of that house money back or and put it in your pocket and then gamble with your winnings. And so that would be one other strategy that you could possibly have. You know, taking some profits at this point, I wouldn't blame anybody for taking profits at this point and raising some cash and then seeing how far we go down at this point. We've had this double dip in, you know, 2 or 3 days. Maybe it goes down a little further and you can find some nice bargains at that level, redeploying some cash from your from the sales that you've made. And that's just kind of up to you and your financial advisor. If you don't have a strategic plan, I definitely, in these markets, you probably want to sit down with a professional to make sure you're doing the right thing. Because if you're up on retirement, the thing about this strategy is then timing. So when do you get back in? It's not really a game of hopscotch. It's really kind of a game of chicken. And you don't want to be kind of caught holding the short end of the stick there. I think the other thing would be to kind of just stay the course and put idle cash to work. Or maybe that's an and or, like stay the course with your portfolio if you don't have any extra cash to put to work. Or if you have extra cash that's sitting on the sideline, you may want to look at some bargains. Now, I'm not going to go through a bunch of names or anything right here because that's not the scope of this podcast. But just looking at what we've seen in just, and this is, again, this is just one of my portfolios compared to just going to cash. You know, if the last 10 years are any indication of what the market will do over a stretch of 10, 15, 20 years, then you probably want to put more cash to work, especially if we're talking about 401k money that you're not going to touch for, you know, 15, 20, maybe more years. That is a strategy definitely that you want to take a look at. and maybe even employ. So what does this all kind of mean in the large scheme of things? And I'm going to pivot a little bit here to pull up one of the asset managers that I use. Now, I've talked about dimensional fund advisors because I use them. I mean, I'm thinking that it's something like 5,000 advisors that have access to dimensional funds. So in the last few minutes we have together, let's talk about what actually, you know, looking at those three choices of putting your head in the sand and going to cash, or going to cash temporarily, or pausing versus just staying the course. Let's see, based on the empirical research that's produced by Dimensional, what the best course has been over time. And we'll switch over right now for that. Now, I like this, and I typically do this in presentations with clients, because I think that, you know, when you're thinking about the things that actually hurt you, it's the emotional knee-jerk type reactions that you have to the last couple of days in the market. And there's not been too many case studies for timing the market and being emotionally driven in your investment decisions that has brought about success. So with that said, Benjamin Graham, one of the greatest investors, says the investor's chief problem and even his worst enemy is likely to be himself. So, I mean, this is one of the best investors of all time. Warren Buffett studied under him. But this is something I can definitely, I'm not going to go through all this. This is something you can request from me. I will definitely send it over to you. Like I said, only dimensional advisors have access to this stuff. But it's a really good test, because what happens is, you know, you have optimism, you have what has been going on in several different asset classes, including cryptocurrencies, and you have, you know, things like Bitcoin going to 20,000 in December, and then you're able to trade the other side of that and go short, and then it goes down to levels that we've seen now, showing that it's highly correlated to asset classes just like stocks. And so you have this cycle that emotions go through no matter what asset class is there. And this is a real cool chart, because through the end of 2015, they measured this from 1970 to 2015. This is how reacting can hurt your performance, you know. So you stay invested through this 45-year period and you get 10%, which is basically what the Dow produced, S&P Dow, pretty much the same. So we already showed that you got about 10%, a little bit better in the last 10 years. Well, if you tried to time it and you missed the market's best day, you got 10%, you got like 25 basis points less than that, which is what this chart is showing. Let me blow this up so you can see what I'm showing here, right? And you missed the market's five best single days. It's 9.24%. And you can just see the growing effect here of the compounding on how much you're losing effectively by missing out on these days where the market is recovering. If you just stay invested the whole time, you get this $89,000. But if you start to miss the market's the best day, the market's five best days, the market's 15 best days, the market's 25 best days, you are dramatically reducing the returns that you can receive over the course of, in this case, 45 years. And so I think all this stuff needs to be taken into account. Here's another good chart in the fact that the market just goes through all kinds of things. Going back to 1970, we have things like, you know, the oil embargo in the 70s. We had getting taken off the gold standard. We had peak oil. We had the savings and loan crisis. We have all these different things, but yet and still, a dollar back in 1970 became $45 in 2015. And that's just investing for the long haul. So I think I've made my point in that probably the best out of those three choices, if you had to, you can probably do number two, which is do a brief pause, take some profits, but then be looking to get back in. The only caveat is timing. The third one being the best, I believe, which is just stay the course. If you've got money on the sidelines, this is probably the best time to dollar cost average your way into some profits that you'll see probably down the line based on, you know, all the research. Every 7 to 10 years, the market's probably reset, But given in that time frame, you're probably going to do pretty well, about 2% or 10% a year. So before we go, let's talk about how you can learn more about stuff like we're talking today. Just launched the Mavens Financial Bootcamp, which is my e-course, to really pull back at a 30,000-foot view and give you what you need for a proper money mindset when it comes to investing and just financial planning altogether. Getting your financial house in order is really what this is about, winning in life and with your finances. I start with a 7-day challenge to really, I would say, test your money mindset and see where you are right now. You can go to djhendersonsr.com, e-course, and you can get started with this free 7-day challenge. There's a series of videos that I'm going to send you, like I said, to kind of test your thinking around your money mindset so that you can improve. That's what it's all about. That's what we're all about in this course, in the e-course, and with this podcast that we're bringing to you. So hopefully that's been helpful. We'll see you back the next time. Take care. Bye-bye.